Paris. What a splendid city. The grand palaces, the exquisite art scene, the fashionable attire, the elegant carriages. And there's always something to keep oneself occupied. With over 600,000 inhabitants, it stands as the largest city on the continent. That's precisely where I aim to capitalise on my talents. The path was paved after the Treaty of Paris in 1763. For 7 long years, the French engaged in a war against the Austrians, British and Prussians. Though the peace was inked in Paris, France emerged from it quite poorly. The French had to reluctantly endure the humiliations they suffered. Their economy suffered greatly. The army had to be rebuilt, and their king, Louis XV, faced unprecedented unpopularity. Nevertheless, thanks to the peace, the road to Paris laid wide open for people like me. A realm of boundless opportunities beckoned. That was precisely where I aspired to make my mark. Of course, I wasn't the first, or only Fleming, to entertain such a notion. Numerous skilled artisans who struggled to find adequate employment in their own region migrated from Flanders to Paris. Among them were many artists as well. The reputation of Rubens and Teniers had not faded here, and the Flemish people were renowned for their comprehensive education and exceptional craftsmanship. The journey to Paris wasn't overly arduous. With a stroke of luck, you could reach the city with all your belongings in a week's time. Upon arrival, I did what any migrant would do in a bustling metropolis: seek out fellow countrymen. You may find it hard to believe, but Paris indeed boasted a Flemish quarter, where Flemish migrants resided in close proximity, conversing in their native tongue, even within the taverns. I settled into an inn and commenced my search for a place to rent. Soon enough, I established connections, and once I secured my own abode, I began hunting for employment. To achieve that, I relied on the contacts recommended by my godmother, Marianne Van Colon. She had generously provided me with some pocket money, but I knew I would have to stand on my own 2 feet if I wished to avoid a swift return to Bruges. One of my initial employers was Marie-Elisabeth de Ricard, a young woman of 22, who had wedded an aristocrat with the flamboyant name of Joseph Melchior, Marquis de l'Estang de Parade. Like many young ladies of her social class, this marquise possessed a fondness for music. Yet what set her apart was her desire for cello lessons, rather than singing or keyboard instruction. As someone who had played the instrument since childhood, I was delighted when she approached me for lessons. Cello lessons, no less. Indeed, it was an unconventional choice for a woman of her standing. Young aristocrats were typically taught to sing or play the keyboard, and instruments such as the lute or guitar were considered acceptable alternatives. However, any instrument that required one to place it in one's mouth, or, in the case of the cello, between one's legs, was bound to raise some eyebrows. But young Marie Elizabeth paid no mind to such concerns. The times were changing, and she remained my most devoted apprentice. This is how I started to earn my initial income, through the noble art of teaching. The quintessential profession that musicians in Paris would often turn to when opportunities elsewhere were scarce. It may not have yielded fortunes, but it provided a steady income and offered intriguing avenues for networking. Thus, I imparted music lessons to Marianne de Monsigny, the Marquise de Seignelay, and Madame de Polignac, recently wedded to Jules de Polignac. Through these musical tutelage sessions, I gained entry into the private salons of young Parisian aristocrats, gracing their homes, forging valuable connections, and getting to know their husbands in the process. The gentlemen of these households held my musical prowess in high regard, leading to requests for performances at garden parties, social gatherings, family celebrations, and various events. As one engagement led to another, I found myself living in the heart of the trendy new district of Montparnasse, where the youthful French aristocracy was constructing their modern residences. Since the late 17th century, the French nobility had erected splendid palaces around Place Royale, now known as Place des Vosges. in the then fashionable neighbourhood of Le Marais. However, by the middle of the century, a new trend emerged as your aristocrats began erecting palatial abodes on the opposite side of the river, in Saint-Germain, near the Palais de Luxembourg. This location provided more space and allowed for the creation of magnificent palaces adorned with stunning gardens, boasting breathtaking views of the Seine. And it was there that I, Hébert Leman, from Bruges, took up residence amidst my esteemed employers. To add to my joy, I was accompanied by my brand new wife, my dear Françoise. In the summer of 1769, I entered marital bliss with Françoise Félicité Planck, herself the daughter of Flemish migrants who had settled in Paris. Together, Françoise and I established a blessed family, blessed with two sons, Hébert Jr. and Adrien, the latter named in honour of my late father. Surely you can understand why I felt confident in my prospects in Paris. Armed with nothing more than a trunk of clothes, a few belongings from Flanders, some financial support from my baptismal mentor, and, above all, an unshakable faith in my own abilities, I journeyed from Bruges to Paris. There, I found employment as a music instructor to aristocratic young ladies, established my residence in the prestigious new district, and formed a beautiful union with my lovely wife. The connections I cultivated while teaching began to bear fruit. I started receiving significant commissions, allowing me to compose music for various occasions. For me, there was nothing more rewarding than crafting my own compositions, preferably for a full orchestra. It symbolized the pinnacle of achievement, to earn a livelihood through my own creative endeavors. Just as a writer writes books and a painter paints masterpieces on canvas, a musician should have the opportunity to express his creativity through his musical compositions. And that was precisely what I intended to do, confident that it wouldn't be long before people addressed me in the manner I aspired to be known, as composer. The composer Hébert Leman from Bruges, I humbly beseech you.